Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us. And joining me now on the phone is Secretary of State Chantel Krebs. Chantel, thanks for being with us today on Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you for having me. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. So let's start and talk a little bit about you're anticipating some paperwork perhaps coming into your office in the next few days?
Yes, we are. In fact, we've already received three or four of them already. The deadline for any ballot question initiative measures or constitutional amendment initiatives are due into our office on Monday, November 9th at 5 p.m. into our office. These are the questions that you may have seen some petitioners or some circulators utilizing a clipboard and asking for your signature, and they're petitioning, of course, for signatures to be placed on the November 2016 ballot, the question or the initiative that they have, you know, so desired and have been, you know, asked to have a title and an explanation placed on, and then they're gathering the signatures. So if it's an initiative measure, the requirement is 13,871 signatures. If it's a constitutional amendment proposal, the requirement for signatures is 27,741 signatures. And we have received two constitutional initiative proposals in our office, and we've received our first initiative measure as we speak, literally about a half an hour ago.
And do they arrive with fanfare?
You know, no. You know, they walk in the door, and they have to be with them. They have to have, of course, it's always in boxes because you can about imagine there are numbers of sheets that are, you know, that they've gathered for signatures. And so they arrive usually in boxes, and then they have to have a signed affidavit by two-thirds of the sponsors of the petition measure that they're proposing or the ballot question measure they're proposing. So if there's one sponsor that's proposing this, one individual, one citizen, then he has to sign his name that he is the one that is the sponsor, and then we notarize it or have somebody, you know, he has to have somebody notarizing his signature that he is it. And they deliver them in usually, like I said, boxes. The first one that came in, the constitutional amendment, came in five boxes. The second one came in two boxes, a little full, more full of the boxes were. And then this most recent initiative measure was this is one big cup or a tub. And so, again, imagine potentially 50,000 signatures was the first one for one measure. So there's probably 5,000 or 6,000 pages. The next one had about 40,000 signatures, so I think there's going to be about 3,000 or 4,000 pages. And then this last one had 20,000 signatures for the initiative measure, and so I would guess there's probably close to 2,000 pages there. And so we will be, you know, what's that, 10, you know, we're looking at how many pages now so far, probably potentially 12, 13,000 pages that we'll be verifying so far, and potentially more yet to come.
And so your staff has to go through each one and kind of spot check signatures. Is that the process?
Yes, let me share the process. So again, they're required to be in their office 1 year prior to the general election. That's why the deadline is on Monday. So Monday the 9th is the deadline, 1 year prior to that general election in which they potentially could be on the ballot. We at this time then, once we receive them, we mark the received date on the petitions as well as the received time. And then what we'll do is we'll take them in the order that we'll receive. And then we'll be marking each sheet and numbering them. So each sheet will get a number. So sheet 1, 2, 3, 4, and we'll start numbering them. And we have a random sample Excel program that will be randomly sampled as required by state statute entitled 2-1. It says that 5% of the total number of signatures must be sampled and verified. So we'll take a 5% random, and the computer will generate the random sampling pick. It'll tell us to go to sheet number 423, line number 12 on that sheet, and look and verify that signature then that's been randomly sampled to say, is that citizen that signed a registered voter in the state, or excuse me, in the county that they have stated they're registered in? And that's what we'll be verifying. We'll cross-referencing their signature, their handwritten signature, as well as their printed name, and then looking at the county of registration to say, yes, is he or is he not or she not a registered voter in that county?
And it's 5% of the number of signatures turned in, not the number of required signatures?
Yes, it's 5% of the total number of signatures turned in.
Okay.
And again, so we'll take that in order. So the first one we'll take in order, again, just doing our 5% of the 50-some thousand signatures. And it's going to take us days and months to do this. This isn't going to be a process because we don't have staff specifically for this. So we're just going to do it as we can throughout our day's activities. So we're going to try to set aside 1 or 2 hours a day to attack the attackees. And we'll, again, take them in the order and just start with sheet one, you know, in that random sampling, and we'll just start going through the process. So we will keep everyone notified. The petition sponsors will be notified when their ballot question comes up and when we start processing it. And, of course, then at that time, either we'll reject or accept, which means certify it. If it has the valid number of signatures that meets the criteria, it meets, you know, in review, and they get the number of signatures needed, then it would be certified or accepted and to be placed. Now, at that time, then an individual citizen can come forth and challenge that decision, that acceptance to be on the ballot, or even its rejection. If it didn't make it on the ballot, they can challenge it, and they would have to specifically list the deficiencies with a signed affidavit saying they dispute these deficiencies on each of these. So once we've had certified it, whether it be an acceptance or rejection, these petitions become public record, and they can come in and view these. We have to make copies of them, as required by state statute, and will be in public viewing with us, and then they can start the challenge process. So there is that next step that a citizen can challenge our decision either way, either acceptance or rejection decision.
And do you have a deadline as to when this all has to, obviously when it's time to print the ballot is your deadline?
Yes. Of course, the printing of the ballot. You know, with so many sheets coming in, we potentially could be looking at 50 or 60,000 sheets potentially. Again, we don't even know that number because Monday at 5 o'clock we will. Again, we're going to take them as they come in and set aside so much time a day. Our internal goal in the office is by the end of the year, but I think we're starting to realize when we see these things start stacking up here, it might take us through session into next year. So, but we're going to keep everyone notified of when their turn and when their time is up for their ballot question to start the process.
Okay. And what is the registered voter's responsibility in all of this in signing the petition?
Sure. As a registered voter, if they have been approached to sign anybody, I don't want to say a registered voter, because you could be an inactive voter. We have inactive voters out there and active. If you haven't voted in the last four election cycles, then you become an inactive voter on our voter registration roll, but that doesn't mean that you still can't sign these. They can still sign them. The intent, of course, is for each citizen to be informed of what they're signing. That's why the petition shall have and has on there the the declaration page has to have the title of the AG, from the AG's office, the title of the actual initiated measure or the title of the initiated constitutional amendment, as well as the Attorney General's explanation of what that title does. So the citizen's responsibility that's signing this would be to, before they sign it, to understand what they're signing, meaning the title and explanation. And that signature line then would and should be right underneath that title and explanation or on the back side, meaning it can't be a photocopy. It has to be self-contained, meaning the front and back on the same sheet, so that they know exactly what they're signing if it's on the back side of it. It's the title and explanation is on the front side. So the role of us as citizens is to look at what we're signing, just like anything else in our everyday life. What are we signing our life away to?
Now, you took office in January of this year. Have you been able to focus on your priorities?
We have had some time to focus on priorities, and thank you for asking, but the first order of business was getting caught up. when I walked in on January 2nd, the office was behind on business filings. The office was behind by 5 and 6 weeks on business filings, 8 weeks behind on Uniform Commercial Code and Marine filings for these lenders out there, so they were not able to view histories of UCC filings. Pistol permit issuances were 90 days behind. So the first order of business was getting caught up. Now that we're within statutory requirement, meaning 5 days for business filings have to be filed within 5 days and within 2 days for Uniform Commercial Code filings, we are caught up and able to focus on our first item, which is our Uniform Commercial Code online filing system, so that our lenders can go online and file that Uniform Commercial Code filing with us online, as well as being able to do their searches, that a lender that is subscribed to the system to be able to do those searches online. So that's our first service. That's going to go live on November 16th. And I think the lenders, the bankers, and myself are looking forward to that database, being current, accurate, so that they'll know an answer when they need to view something. right then and there on the spot and not having to wait and hear from us or wait for the filing to be current. These will be current and accurate and be notified as a rejection or acceptance of a filing within that 24-hour time frame. The next phase is going to be the business service division's phase. I heard loud and clear from our attorneys in the state that they want to have online filing for any new corporate filings or any corporations that want to start up and start a business in South Dakota. So we'll be providing, hopefully by July of next year, an online business filing service that would say if you're starting up a business in South Dakota as a corporation or a limited liability company or a partnership, that you can do these and file these documents online. Right now, they have to be manually sent in by a paper with your check attached, and then they manually are entered and then sent back. And, of course, we file about 160,000 corporations a year, and so you can about imagine the volume of paperwork in the office. But that's our goal. We want to make sure that we're a state, we're friendly with businesses wanting to start up, and we need to make sure that we're the first office that a business comes in into action with and interact with. And we want to make sure that we're doing what they, that businesses have said. We need to be able to do this very quickly and efficiently and know our answers right away before we move forward with our company.
And when did you first realize when you took office that you needed to do an audit, that things may be missing, like a flag and things?
Sure. I actually requested a legislative audit right after I won in the election in November. So I sent a letter to legislative audit in late November requesting the audit. And, of course, I'd served in the legislature for 10 years in the House and the Senate and chaired some committees. And I just thought, the reason I ran was I'd heard things were not going as smoothly as they should be, that things were behind, that things weren't, just the responses weren't getting there. And so the reason I ran was I knew I needed to know a baseline. I needed to know when I walked in the door what the capital assets were, what the bank account was. And so I needed to know as a baseline where we had to go and what our first order and priorities were, and just to give me an idea of what we were walking into and to put it on the record. And that was happening. Like I said, I asked that initially. We noticed that the original state flag was missing on January 2nd when we walked in the door. The pedestal base and the little plaque for the flag was there, but of course no flag. And we thought maybe it had been folded up and put somewhere, and so we searched internally for a couple months. And after realizing, asking around, not being able to find it, then we said we need to turn that over to legislative audit as well as a missing historical artifact. And that was a part of that as well.
Okay. Chantel Krebs, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on the program today. I look forward to having you back on the show.
Well, thank you and have a fantastic afternoon. If you have any questions, be sure to call our office anytime.